If you've ever wondered why I present Jesus to you, it's because Jesus died for you on a cross. He's God's Son. He is God. And God so loved the world that He gave us the Lord Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth and He lived on this earth, and then He was taken and crucified on a cross. And when He died on that cross, He took upon Himself your sin and my sin. And He died. And when He died, your sin and my sin died with Him. And then by the power of God, He was raised on the third day. So that Jesus now is alive. And when Jesus came out of the grave, He didn't bring our sin with Him. Our sin remained in the grave. So now here it is. All of us have sinned. Every one of us is a sinner. The only way that you can have a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is through the Lord Jesus, because He's the way. He's truth. He's the life. No man can come to God excepting through Jesus, because Jesus is the one who, through His death and resurrection, makes it possible for you and me to be forgiven of our sin. Because when we trust Him, when we confess our sin and repent before Him and give our hearts and lives to Him, and He comes into our lives, our sin, past tense, is present tense forgiven. Because Christ has already paid the price. He did that
Welcome
for me.
Welcome to the Throwback Thursday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. The Encouraging Throwback Thursday. I know that's a little unusual for some of you. The reality is there is a message that took place back in 2014 with Dr. Don Wilton. Hundreds of thousands of people have responded to this message, and it's just one that doesn't need to stay on the shelf. You need to hear it. Maybe you've heard it before. If you have, you'll be blessed by it again, but many of you have not, so I want to encourage you to hear about God's unimaginable grace. That's the message coming up from Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But I want you to know, we stand ready to take your call and pray with you right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
The unimaginable grace of God. God's unimaginable grace. If I could roll the clock back, which I cannot do, if I could go back 35 years in my ministry, in my life, I would focus so much more on the unimaginable grace of God, because there is a remedy. So for me personally, if I could go back to my youth when I was just hot stuff, when I knew I had arrived and I was God's personal gift to the world, I would be far less prone to point my finger and condemn people. I'd be far less prone to strut around and tell people just how sorry they are. I would be far less quick to judge others, because there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. It doesn't take away sin. It doesn't remove what God has to say about sin. We're going to find that out today. It doesn't excuse our behavior, but it helps you and me to understand something about God. And I want to speak to you today about God's unimaginable grace. It is just humanly unimaginable to think that God could love us, forgive us, restore us, talk to us, bless us, despite what we do to Him. It's unimaginable. And all of us are guilty as charged. We have so cultivated legalism and Pharisaism in Christian ranks, the super spiritual me, and look at what so-and-so has done. And God gives us a beautiful picture, God's unimaginable grace. I want to read you just one illustration of that from our study in the story. So turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 33. And I'm going to show you something here that is unimaginable. I'm going to show you a picture of you and me in God's story. A picture, perhaps, of America. A picture of our families. It's right here in God's story. I am in God's story. You are in God's story. I want to show you something about God's unimaginable grace. Now, friends, the word grace means unmerited favor. What does the word unmerited mean? It means that we don't deserve it. So if I were to ask all of us today, who here amongst us deserves to be loved, to be forgiven by God? I don't think any one of us could stand up and say that. Can you? Do you deserve to be blessed of the Lord? Do you deserve to be redeemed, restored? And yet God does that. Your case is not hopeless. You're not washed out. It's not over. But you've got to hear what God says about His unimaginable grace. So I want to just read this to you. It's about a man by the name of Manasseh. 2 Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. Here's what he did. He rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had broken down, and he erected altars to the Baals and made Asheroth, and he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Everybody just look at me. Let me give you a little explanation. The pagan gods of the day of Manasseh, there were many of them. But you will remember going back even into 1 Kings to the time of Elijah. Remember when Elijah went and he stood on Mount Carmel and he confronted the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. Asherah, A-H at the end of that word. And an Asheroth, R-O-T-H, was an idol. Now watch this, folks. Asherah, the god Asherah, was one of the Assyrian and Philistine gods. This god was a female deity, a pagan god, and became associated with groves, G-R-O-V-E, wood, forest groves. And the worship of Asherah, this strange god, would take place in these groves, and they would take the trunk of trees and they would carve their idol god Asherah into these tree trunks in these groves, and they would offer sacrifices, and there were tremendous immorality involved because this was a female deity. So the goddess Asherah gave to these people permission to act immorally. And so they gave themselves over to immoral practices. So an Asheroth was a pole that was an idol symbolizing the worship of the goddess Asherah. Remember now, God said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And you'll remember when Elijah went onto the top of Mount Carmel, there were 850 prophets of Baal, B-A-A-L, or Baal, Baal in the Hebrew tongue. All right, remember the word A-L always carries with it God. That's why the name Allah means God. L-E-L, El Shaddai. Anytime you see that word, you've got the word God, but our God, Jehovah, Yahweh, is unique and the only God, whereas the gods of the pagans were composite, they were collective, they ruled the behavior of people and they gave license for people. We've got different gods, but we also worship all kinds of gods in our own culture, even in today's world. So now let me read this to you again. Verse 3, you might read this a little differently. For he rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had broken down. Watch this. He erected altars to the Baals, Baals, and made Asheroth. Erected idols, cut wood idols, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Now it gets worse. And he built altars in the house of the Lord. Did you get that? Very important to just notice that. This man was, remember the Bible here says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. I mean, he actually even came into the temple of God and brought his pagan worship into God's house, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. So what Manasseh did was he brought in the names of Baal, the Baals, and the name of Asherah, this female deity goddess. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And watch this, he burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom. I wish I had time to explain that to him. He literally used his own children as the prime sacrifice of his determination to follow pagan gods. He said, I don't care what happens. I'm going to teach my son that it's far more important to play sport than it is to go to church. That's what he said. He said, I'm just going to burn my children in the valley of the gods rather than teach my children that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. I'm going to be the instrument to show the next generation that the only thing that matters is that you satisfy yourself. But it gets worse. And he used fortune-telling and omens and sorcery. By the way, have you ever had someone come up to you and say, is there something wrong with fortune-telling? Any of you gone to a fortune-teller? Anyone consulted Ouija boards? Anyone go to palm readers? Just going to leave that up to you. You decide. Let's read that again. He used fortune-telling and omens and sorcery, and he dealt with mediums and necromancers, people who dealt with the spirit world. And just in case we missed it, I'm in verse 6. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. And the carved image of the idol that he had made, he set in the house of God, in which God said to David and to Solomon, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will only put my name forever. And I will no more remove the foot of Israel from the land I appointed for your fathers, if only they will be careful to do all that I have commanded them, all the law, the statutes, the rules given through Moses. So Manasseh led Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the people of Israel. Wow! Wow! Wow!
A powerful word from the Lord through Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. There's a great deal more to come in today's message, God's Unimaginable Grace. And we'll be back with Dr. Wilton in just a second. But I want you to know, more importantly, Dr. Don wants you to know, we exist to encourage you. Not just in the presentation of the gospel, but also in the opportunities we have to be a part of each other's lives on a daily basis. If you're not receiving the email from Dr. Wilton to kind of launch your day, it's a jump start to my quiet time. And I get it every morning about 6 o'clock in the morning. You can sign up for as well right now online at theencouragingword.org. Or here's a convenient way to sign up. Just text the word DAILY to 30500. That's right. If you text the word DAILY to 30500, we'll send you a quick link. You can sign up, and by this time tomorrow, you'll receive that email from Dr. Wilton that I assure you will challenge you to spend time in God's Word and draw closer to Jesus Himself. Now let's dive back into today's message, God's Unimaginable Grace, with Dr. Don Wilton.
Verse 10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore, the Lord brought on them the commanders of the army of the king of Syria, who captured Manasseh with hooks, bound him with chains of bronze, and brought him to Babylon. By the way, that little word hooks is an interesting word. Did you know, by the way, that one of the most sensitive parts of your anatomy is your nose? Have you ever heard the phrase, you led around by your nose? Do you know, probably one of the most ghastly forms of torture has been the abuse of the nose. And if you want me to get into details about what this means here, with hooks, literally in the text, in the Hebrew text, it says that they put a ring, they forced a ring into his nose, and they pulled him around by his nose. This wasn't some kind of gentle little nudging. And it gave them complete control over him. He had no control. This was the king, by the way. The one who controlled everything ended up controlling nothing, not even himself. And they bound him in chains of bronze. They brought him to Babylon. And when he was in distress. Now, I love verse 12. Remember, we are about to talk about the unimaginable grace of God. When he was in distress. Are you in distress, by the way? Where do you find yourself? When he was in distress, he entreated the favor of his God, humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty. Can you believe that? This is unimaginable. I tell you what I wish they had done to Manasseh, plucked his toenails or done something like that. I mean, this boy deserved it, don't you think? I don't know how to pluck toenails, but it just sounded good. So he prayed to him, and God was moved by his entreaty, heard his plea, and brought him again to Jerusalem. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. And afterward he built an outer wall for the city of David west of Gion, the valley for the entrance of the fish gate, and carried it around Ophel, raised it to a very great height. He also put commanders of the army in all the fortified cities in Judah. He took away the foreign gods and the idol, singular, Asheroth, from the house of the Lord, and all the altars he had built on the mountain of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, he threw them outside the city. He also restored the altar of the Lord, offered on its sacrifices, peace offerings, and thanksgiving, and he commanded Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed at the high places, but now only to the Lord their God. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and his prayer to his God and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, are in the chronicles of the kings of Israel. Go read them for yourself. And his prayer and how God was moved by his entreaty and all his sin and his faithlessness and the sites on which he built high places and set up Asherim and the images before he humbled himself, behold, they are written in the chronicles of the seers. By the way, the seer chronicle is found in the Septuagint in the Hebrew manuscripts called Hatzai, Hazai. You can read the chronicles of the seers. So, verse 20, Manasseh died. He slept with his fathers and they buried him in his house. And then Amon, his son, came and reigned. So how come God would be so nice to Manasseh? And why is God so good to you and me? God's unimaginable grace. This story is about five things. Write them down. Number one, Unbelievable love. Number two, massive sin. Number three, deserved punishment. Number four, heartfelt repentance. Number five, unimaginable grace. Consider God's magnificent love. God loves us so much in that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Just think about Manasseh. God was so good to him, allowed him to become king at such a young age. You know, he came from a good family. His father was Hezekiah. Number two, consider Manasseh's massive sin. What would cause a man like this to sin so grievously against the Lord? Here's the question. Why are you doing what you're doing? Just consider Manasseh's massive sin. We've looked at parts of it, what he did, the desecration of the very presence and the name of God in every way. What he did with his sons. Three occasions in this passage, the Bible says he did evil in the sight of God. Number three, consider the deserved punishment. Now, folks, I'm not going to go so far as to say that nose hook was something he deserved. I'm not suggesting that. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. He deserved what he got in the eyes of God. You know, if some of those things that I was wishing on Richard Sherman happened, there's going to be a bunch of people say, well, he's just getting his just deserts. Consider Manasseh's deserved punishment. But number four, just consider his heartfelt repentance. You know what's amazing to me from verse 12 through verse 13? Right there in the midst of his nose ring, with shackles on, in exile in Babylon, this man turned his heart back to the Lord. He just turned back to the Lord. He just did this. He turned away from himself and he turned back to God. Turned away from his idols, he turned back to God. It's a beautiful picture. But number five, consider God's unimaginable grace. You know, I read this time without number, not only through our book, the story that we are all reading, but in the Word of God here. And as I meditated, asked God to speak to me. And you know, that verse 13 is just unbelievable. He prayed to him, watch this, folks. And God was moved by his entreaty and heard his plea and restored him again to Jerusalem. Would you bow your heads with me for just a minute? I'm going to ask you to do business with the Lord. I'm going to tell you why. Because you are forgiven. Because Jesus Christ was forsaken. God's unimaginable grace. This is what you and I have to do. We have to repent of our sin before the Lord. God's unimaginable grace is not an automatic offering. God is not saying to us, let me tell you something, you just go out there and sin and carry on and do whatever evil because automatically I'm just going to give you my grace. No. Manasseh turned back to God. He turned around. He repented. He went back to base. He went back to the foot of the cross. He went back to him in prayer and supplication. And the Bible here said he humbled himself before him. Are you willing to repent of your sin before him? Are you willing to humble yourself before the God of the universe? Say, Lord, I'm a sinner before you. Are you willing to lay your life at the feet of Jesus? See, when you and I do that, if you don't know Christ, he will come into your heart and into your life. And if you're a believer and you've sinned against him and you've built an altar to pagan gods in the temple of God's grace in your life, repent and God will restore you. He'll bring back the joy. You'll become one of those overcomers. God will do that. I invite you today to do business with our Heavenly Father.
Perhaps you've never heard Dr. Wilton say that before. You've heard it hundreds of times, but now you know it's time for you to do business with the Lord. Know that you don't have to do it alone. We stand ready to pray you through the next steps. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to pray you through. And know this, our pastor's most passionate, heartfelt question is coming up next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
Now, if the Lord's spoken to your heart, won't you let us pray you through? 866-899-WORD is the phone number. I know we all like to type and text a little bit more today, perhaps, than the conversation, but this is the perfect time to have someone pray with you on the phone at 866-899-WORD. And if this is not the perfect time, jot the number down. We'll take that call anytime, day or night, at 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And again, thank you so much for so many of you who are joining the fight and lifting up the name of Jesus literally around the globe by becoming encouragers of the Encouraging Word Ministry.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. Thank you so much for helping me.
That number again is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673, or you can find that number in so many ways to connect on our website as well at theencouragingword.org.
The Encouraging Word broadcast continues to be a blessing in my life. God has truly blessed me through your sermons. Each day, I read my Encouraging Word Bible guide or watch your program on Sundays. I desire to be closer and closer to God, closer than I've ever been. I have been disabled and homebound since 2006 and unable to attend my church. I have been deeply blessed by the Encouraging Word broadcast and your ministry. I desire to be a part of your ministry.